I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hi, everyone. Amy here for your bonus episode. So what is a bonus episode on Shameless Sex? The bonus episode is a free offering for you. Well, guess what? All of our podcasts are free because you don't have to pay for it. And podcasts are starting to go that route, just so you know, where you have to subscribe to a lot of them. So we want to keep this free, and that's why we generally have ads. And we know that you all don't love listening to ads all the time. So that's why we offer this occasional free bonus episode that is ad free. And that's exactly what we are going to do here, is talk all about sexuality and relationships in an ad free way. Today we are here with repeat guest Edward Wiley. Oh my gosh, I should have written down the episode that you were on. Do you know the episode number, Edward? I didn't write it down.
I don't remember.
It's called Not Love. Something. Let me look it up, because I bet we don't have a lot of the word not in titles on our website. Found it. So episode 139, Not Love, Rope Play for Hot Sex and Deep Connection. So that was, wow, that was maybe 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Was that during COVID or before?
Before COVID.
Oh, wow. It's been a while. All right. Well, welcome back to Shameless
Sex. Great to be back. Thanks,
yeah.
Amy.
Yeah, we were here, actually. So you look familiar in the corner of my living room. And so today we're talking about a whole different topic, which is more so speaking to, and we were talking about terminology today, we're speaking to male-identified folks on how they can kind of show up as their most vulnerable, alive, clear, driven, authentic selves in a way that that shows up in sexuality, in relationships, probably generally more so speaking to male-identified folks in relationships with female-identified folks. And when I say identified, everyone, I'm saying people identify as male or female, but they might have all kinds of genitals. And we had also talked about before this that you actually, a lot of these key points will just apply to relationships in general, no matter how you identify, but your focus is more so speaking to men, so male-identified folks, also speaking to women, though, or to female-identified folks in relationships with them, because we're going to talk about a lot more about what women are craving from them, right? Am I on the right point here, on the right topic?
Sure.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. So before we dive into this and about how this can lead to more juicy sex or deeper relationships, et cetera, I know you did this on a past podcast, but you know, 2 years have gone by. If you can share your story as to where you got to where you are today, or how you got to where you are today in the world of sexuality, and this can be in the business world, this can be in the personal world. And I know we're also talking about relationships and more empowerment and self-helpy path on being our best selves. But how did you get to this place, this moment on January 12th or whatever day it is, 2022?
Sure. Thanks, Amy. Yeah, something happened that skyrocketed my relationship and my sex life with my partner. Mm-hmm. I'll get to that in a minute. But I, as I talked about on my when I was here last time, I started started Not Love, KNOT Love. It was an open-hearted approach to erotic rope play or rope bondage. And before that, I was holding a meetup at
Pure Pleasure.
Pure Pleasure.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Hey, Mom.
And we taught a lot of the technical details of rope play. Then when I introduced an open-hearted connection and what I called musubi, first, so shibari is the name for the tying the knots. Mm-hmm. So it's kenbaku, that means to bind tightly in Japanese. Mm. But musubi means the knot that ties together, that binds together. So what was really interesting was when I introduced those concepts, how do you have more presence and confidence inside of yourself so that you can develop that intimacy and connection with your partner? That's when what I was teaching really took off. People began to learn the techniques quicker, but more importantly, the intimacy that was developed between the couples like skyrocketed. Mm. So I knew I was on to something. And then I learned that what I was teaching there actually applies to leadership. So there's a direct correlation between the inner game of Shibari is also similar to the inner game of leadership. How do you have confidence, and how do you stay grounded and connected and aware of either your partner, if you're tying them up, or your team, or whoever you're leading? Mm-hmm. So I've started a leadership coaching practice over the past 2 years and since I last saw you. And the thing that I also included is men's work, having men come together to help each other be better leaders. So when I first started dating my partner 3.5 years ago, I think it was just a few months into our relationship when she said, "You should join a men's group." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, but I've looked at some men's groups and they weren't very interesting, and they were too like rah rah rah, and like I wasn't
bury each other in the sand,
right? Exactly, right, and punch each other in the chest, and like talk about car, right?" Yeah. I said that, and it didn't really appeal to me. A few months later, she said, "You should join a men's group," and I was like, "Yeah, I didn't, you know." And then a few months later, she'd say, "Hey, why don't you join a men's group?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay." So I gave these excuses, and then finally one day, I joined a men's group. And she like blossomed. She like, "You joined a men's group." Her attraction to me skyrocketed. Our relationship improved so much. And what I finally understood what she was telling me wasn't, "Hey, you should join a men's group." What she was really saying is, "Join a freaking men's group so that I can be really attracted to you and feel safe." Mm-hmm. And what I've learned through that is there is so much support and accountability that you get in a men's group that your female partner doesn't want to be the only source of for you. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to come home, you know, come home and talk to them about all your problems. They don't want to constantly be the only person who is supporting you. They also want to see you show up powerfully in your life. And the best way to do that is by finding and joining and being part of a men's group. Mm. So I created a men's leadership program where I teach leadership skills, but also together with men's groups and men's circles so that the men can support each other. Men are really hungry for male brotherhood, mm-hmm. and connection. A lot of men have difficult experiences growing up with men, either the father or their brother, or both in my case, weren't very good to them, or just in general, they didn't have close male friends. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of trauma around that. Mm-hmm. When that's healed, a lot of your innate power can start to come out. So when I combine the leadership program with the men's work, then it just skyrocketed, mm-hmm. because then the men began to kind of open up a lot more, and we're able to support each other.
Mm. Yeah, I grew up in Santa Cruz, and in Santa Cruz we have what I'm going to call a big bro culture, and not everyone from Santa Cruz is a bro. And I know some people are going to be like, "Why are you calling us bros?" And so I'm going to get some hate mail. But when I say bro culture, I mean that it's very much based on this certain idea of what masculinity is. It seems almost like a little lost and like a little bit of a man or boy pack that while they're supporting each other in a way that's kind of like fun and playful, and they go and do their extracurricular activities, they're not talking about their vulnerability. They're not there really being like, "Hey man, I'm having a really hard day. You know, I'm having a hard time, my relationship or my career is failing, or my cock isn't working the way I want it to." And instead it's all a little more superficial, and not all of it, because I don't want to put all Santa Cruzians in this category, but as someone who grew up here, I was one of those people really craving to be with partners who were thinking outside of that box and moving beyond that. And I'm one of those people that I felt safer with that. I felt more seen. I felt like we could relate more, like there was more depth available because now I could share that part of myself with them. You know, here's my hopes, dreams, and fears. And they're not just like, "Cool," you know. For me, my idea about this, my perspective is that we don't really have a rites of passage movement for American culture that is the general way of doing boyhood to manhood. It's just not the norm, and so it's missing. And so what happens is later on in life, should men, you know, male identified folks or penis owners choose to seek this out, they have to do it on their own, unless they were somehow raised in some family that's like, "Hey, son, I'm going to show you how to do this. So I can really resonate with this. And I guess I want to hear a little more about your story, but I guess that's one of my questions for you. Moving to that question. Is that what you see as one of the barriers, is why that is? It's just not really part of the socially constructed norm for manhood. And you said, you know, there's fathers and things, but you know, why is that missing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't exactly know why it's missing. I know that men aren't taught to be vulnerable. They're not taught to talk about, express, and share feelings. They're not taught to be to need support. Mm-hmm. They're taught to be the ones to be giving the support, to be the man of the house, mm-hmm. To be strong and to not cry and to not share. But that's all robbing us of our true masculinity. Like a man that feels, that's able to express feelings, to be vulnerable, to share, to listen, to have empathy, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, that's a really powerful man. That's a man that can stand in the center and help lead the world around them.
That's a hot, sexy man right there. And again, I think that it really invites all of me too, because then I'm, you know, there's like this mirror aspect, but then also, okay, you, since you're sharing this part of yourself, then you can hold this part of myself. And, you know, there's this part, this idea also that the hysterical woman, you know, and I'm like, I'm having a hard time. And I, like you were saying earlier, I don't want my partner to just be the only person to hold that. Like, I have a therapist. I have plenty of friends for this too. I have women's circles and groups as well. But I think it's just a little more normalized for me to have that versus my male partners. And it is definitely a missing link. And I can also say a lot of the men that I know that have done this work, oh my God, it's night and day in the shifts in the way that they are as friends, as partners, as sexual beings. I've been in relationships with multiple men who didn't do this work. And then once they did, it was night and day. They were speaking of, all of a sudden they were holding themselves accountable. They were speaking more truthfully and honestly. Our sex changed. I was definitely more attracted to them. So what do you think, I guess, on the show? So let's go to the piece about your partner. Your partner saying, wow, this is more attractive. Was this just because you were doing men's work or because she saw the shifts in your behavior and how you were living your life?
Several things. So in the very beginning, it was like a relief for her. Mm. Oh, Edward has support from other men, so I don't have to worry about taking care of him. So I know that he's being held, he's being supported, and he's being inspired to be a better man. So from the very beginning, that released a lot of pressure.
Like my nervous system.
I don't have to do it all. Yeah. Because she has a lot of friends she talks to. I think women in general often have a large group of other women that they share really close things with. Mm-hmm. And I don't think men typically have that. So that was the first thing, was this relief that I was in the right place. And then she started to see how I began to show up in that men's group. And it brought out my natural leadership abilities after... Yeah. After there's a little initiation period when I joined this one group. It's called the Men's Circle. They're based out in Oakland and San Francisco, California. At one point, I had 5 or 6 men come over to my house and help me clean my entire house, top to bottom, with all the windows and floors, and clean all this trash.
And she's over there like, this is hot.
She's like, yeah. she was actually out for the day, but super hot that, mm-hmm. to know that that I was able to bring that group of men to my house to support me. So, and I began to also talk about integrity a lot more. There's a high bar for integrity in the group that I'm in, to be your word. Mm-hmm. So that was really sexy. Mm-hmm. But really the leadership that it brought out in me, I say masculinity, but there's like that means so many different things.
Like strength and confidence.
But strength and confidence, yeah. And relaxation, but also drive and mm-hmm. spirit. I have began to have a place to express that and to be pushed to reach deeper, mm-hmm. And to remove blocks that are in there. There's an art. It's called circling. It's called the men's circle, and one of the activities is circling, where it'll be you, the person getting circled, and then the group of men around, and you share what's going on with you, and then the men will share how that lands with them and anything they're feeling or seeing or asking questions to kind of probe where I might not be showing up right or sharing something that seems like a little incongruent. I may be sharing something difficult and smiling, and so they may point that out and really get to the root of that. So the circling part is really valuable to really up-level yourself. So that's really powerful.
That's edgy to be there in the middle, and people are like, "Here's my reflection, or my reflection of you, and how you could be your more higher self." And I'm sure they're saying it in a loving way. Or maybe sometimes they're angry and they're like, "You didn't show up for me." But a lot of people avoid that. They're like, "I don't want to hear the negative." I'm doing air quotes now. Reflections of myself, because that's really hard to see and take in. So I'm going to set up my life so I can avoid that. When really we only see what we can or want to see. Can only be mirrors of ourselves if we're the only mirror for ourselves. And instead, if we invite in other people, whether it's therapists or, you know, in this kind of work, then we have other people to hold us accountable. And like you said, if we're in a relationship, we don't want it just to be our partner. We're going to stop listening to them. Or if your partner's constantly like, "Hey, here's how I see you can do or be better," and maybe not in those exact words, you're going to eventually tune them out.
Or it comes across as nagging.
Yeah.
You're like, "Leave me alone. I got this." But when it's men who are like, "Hey, you know, this isn't really how you should be showing up," or "Have you thought about it this way?" Or, "What if you reached for doing it like this?" Or just having that, and especially men that are skilled in that, that have done the work themselves, to be aware, to be grounded, to centered, to have that insight. It's a really powerful group to be a part of.
I have a question about dominance, and this wasn't what we talked about before, but we've received multiple questions from listeners, and I've worked with clients before who are penis-owning individuals who are male-identified, who have either partners that want them to be more dominant or confident, and or they just don't feel dominant and confident. And so do you feel like with this men's work that shows you more about vulnerability, leadership, connection, et cetera, that it in turn can lead to that? There's the confidence piece. So also, and I'm not saying dominant, like I'm going to ruin and control the world. But when we think of dominance in the bedroom, we think of someone who's kind of running the show in a loving, confident way. Do you think that this work could also translate into that once you build that confidence in this work, even though it's not necessarily directly related to sex, that it could show up in that way?
It can help you show up more powerfully in a dominant role. It can help you show up more powerfully in a submissive role.
Interesting.
So it's helped you show up powerfully in either way. Now, some men may think, "Oh, it's not very masculine if I show up in the vulnerable place or in the submissive place and have my partner be the dom." But there's a lot of power.
Oh yeah.
In that surrender, and I teach that when I teach the rope. Stuff I teach that there's a lot of strength in that, being able to let go. A lot of men are like so busy leading, and women are leading too. But people that are so busy leading, maybe they actually need that space to stop and let go and have somebody else take care of them. It can be a really powerful place, and also it can help you step into that powerful, more dominant role, in a good way. So there's like being the boss in a relationship and being a leader, and they're two different things. The boss is one that tells you what to do and makes you do it, and you know, wants to look good. But the leader wants the other person to look good and wants to inspire. So however you can show up that way, whether it's coming on stronger, being able to hold that space as a dominant, or being able to hold the space in a submissive role as well. Now, talking specifically about being in the dominant role, that requires a little more responsibility. So whatever you can do in sort of personal development work to have a more relaxed body, have your energy flowing so you show up physically in a powerful way, to have a practice that helps your heart open so that you can show up in a loving, dominant way is really important. Also, the work you can do on your mind to be clear so that your mind isn't like worried and scattered about are you doing it right, but you're clear and you know. And then there's your spirit. How strong is your spirit? So working on your spirit to be a really elevated, powerful, inspiring spirit. Those qualities really help you to show up in a dominant way. Mm.
Yeah, and we hear the stories about the CEOs of large companies who you're running everything by day, but at night sometimes they want to let loose and have someone dominate them. And I think that's kind of like a stereotype, but I can speak for myself as, I mean, I'm someone who's running the show a lot. I told you earlier, I'm a control freak in a lot of ways, and I love being submissive in the bedroom. It's like, finally I can just chill the fuck out. And I've had my very dominant partners also crave that at times. Like sometimes they just want to be tied up and have the shit beat out of them. They're like, that feels nice. And it doesn't make it so they're not dominant. So they're not a leader. There's such thing as topping from the bottom. I'm one of those. I'm like, I'm running the show. You just didn't know, but I'm really powerful. So on the note of what women are craving more from men, then we kind of talked about this. They're craving more of this leadership, this vulnerability piece. And then in turn, they can find it really hot and attractive. So what about, let's talk about like the safety piece that can come from that. And I'll start with a personal story about this too, as I talked to you about this. So, recently I've, had some things come up with my partner where, the dynamic, there's some edginess to the dynamic there between us, and it's wonderful. And there is some personal work that they need to go on, that he needs to go on to tend to himself. So it's a lot of self-care, a lot of processing things that made it so that we need some spaciousness in our connection. And, you know, we're not broken up and there's some spaciousness happening in our connection to give him space for that. And whenever that happens in relationships, I'm like, fuck, here's another opportunity to work on myself. Fine. But it's another opportunity. It's great. And what I will say about my body and what happens with that, and I'm also more of an energetic when it comes to sexuality, so that when the energy changes, I also have some anxious tendencies, but when the energy changes, my body shifts and it feels less open and receptive. And so I'm not saying this as like, he did this, so my body shut down. And what I got really clear on was when he needed to go and do this journey for himself, and now there's more spaciousness between us, now all of a sudden, I do feel a little unsafe because I'm energetic and I feel like there's less of a connection available. And so what I said was, okay, my sexual body is off the table now. We can still snuggle. We can let, you know, touch and things, but actual my pussy and my sexual body is not available right now. Not as punishment, not withholding that, which I don't recommend doing. Like, fine, you won't do this, I won't fuck you. Not that, but more so I could feel it. Oh, I don't feel fully safe right now because my partner is not really fully here right now. And so I bring that to the safety piece. You talked about why it's important to create a container of safety for partners. And I think I feel like I had my own experience with that. But can you share more about that, why the safety is important for partners so that they can open up to the partners?
Yeah, I think there's two things I want to share about that. The first one is, as a man, I rarely feel unsafe in my physical body or in my world. I'll walk around in a dark parking lot at night. I'm not concerned about my physical safety. A lot of the women that I know in my life have had experiences or regular experiences where they haven't felt safe in their body. So I don't think a lot of men understand the need to create a container of safety for their female partner, especially if you're like a good guy and you're like, well, I'm not gonna do anything to my, I'm not gonna beat you up or anything. They may know that on an intellectual level, but at a nervous system level, it's still a man, especially. And if you're arguing or if you're posturing or you're hovering over or you're angry or you're raising your voice, those are all things that to a woman's nervous system can be really, really, scary, especially given all the incidents they may have had growing up.
Or ancestral trauma, too. I'm a believer in that.
Ancestral trauma as well. So so it's important to know that, and this applies to anybody, but especially for men, to know that even though you may know you're safe, your partner's nervous system may not know that you're safe. Mm-hmm. So why is it important? If your partner doesn't feel safe, like you just said, give a good example, you're not going to get any.
Yeah, you're not going to get laid, fool.
I was talking to a friend of mine who he made a post asking about, he has some issues keeping his erection during sex. And he asked for some mechanical device, if anybody has
like
some experience
with that.
Like a masturbation.
Oh, to for erections. Yeah, okay, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I
it's on Facebook, just like, hey, does anyone know anybody in dick pills? some other realm.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
got it.
I replied in a way that he didn't expect. And I said that a lot of our, as a man, a lot of our the energy needs polarity. Energy needs, in order to go from one place to another, you need to go from a positive to a negative. That's mm-hmm. just how energy flows. And if that polarity isn't there, then that energy isn't going to flow. So, for example, in my relationship, there have been times when I've been thinking I was really horny, and we got together with my partner, but I'm not like getting aroused. Mm. And then my partner will share something that she's been afraid of sharing with me. She hasn't been feeling safe about like my financial situation, or hasn't been feeling safe about something else in her life, or like not safe for how I'm before I had a men's group. She maybe didn't feel mm-hmm. safe, like I didn't have the support. Once we were able to, she was able to talk about that and share her feelings, and I was able to receive them in a good way and not get defensive. Then it was like magic. All of a sudden, I started to feel aroused and mm-hmm. excited, and she was too. And then we would have amazing sex afterwards. But it wasn't until she was able to share her feelings of not feeling safe, work together to where she did feel safe, that we were able to then have the hot sex that we both wanted. Mm-hmm. So creating a container of safety for your partner is probably the number one way to get more sex.
It's huge.
And have better sex.
There's things that my partner could say to me that, like, they could say, like, oh, you're so sexy, I want to fuck you. And I'd be like, that's cool. But if they were like, I really want to include you in my family Christmas, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so special. I want to. Yeah. It's just, there's something there. It's like, oh, and maybe that's for me, just feeling included, but belonging, but also their safety. Like, oh, okay, I'm a part of this person's heart. And, but I'm different from some people, they want to just hear, you're so sexy, I want to fuck you. And that would work for them. But for me, safety, they just completely translates to sexuality, to my body opening up, and a lack of safety and feeling seen. And that does include vulnerability. My partner's not sharing themselves, and I feel that there's this part that they're withholding. Like, there seems like there's some secrets and things.
You're not feeling safe.
Yeah. It changes everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes a big difference. And I wouldn't say that everyone is as energetic as me. And I think that I think that those a lot of people just haven't tapped into that yet. You know, that part of themselves of all genders, that they actually are more energetic beings than they think they are. And not saying there's anything wrong with you and there's not one way to do it. And yet, I think just deep down, if we get past what our past experiences are, or what we've been cultured to be, that we are, you know, very intuitive feelers deep down.
So the key tip here I want to leave for men or for anyone, if you're with your partner and you're, let's say it's a date night, but it's just not kind of going quite right, you may want to ask your partner, hey, like, is there something on your mind? Like, can you share with me, like, how are you feeling? What's going on? Here's the number one tip. When they share that, if it's something that is you, like, let's say they're like, oh, well, here's this thing you did and it made me feel weird. Don't get defensive. Like, thank them. Be curious. Have empathy. Oh, it sounds like when I did that, you felt this way. Mm-hmm. That's going to relax them so much. Because then they're going to be like, oh, it's safe to share my fears and it's safe to share my feelings. Mm-hmm. This person is safe. Now my nervous system can relax and my body can open. So if your partner is sharing something, even if it's edgy, several times my partner has been like, oh, your financial situation isn't good enough for me. And it happens, it can come up frequently. Before, I used to get defensive. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to work it out. It's fine. You don't have to worry, right? And that wasn't the right response. The right response was, oh, it sounds like you're worried that I'm not going to make it this month. And this, you know, this business is going to take off. And she's like, yeah, I'm worried about it. I'm like, well, babe, I got this. Here's what I'm doing. And here, I hear you. And I'm sorry that you're worried, and here's the steps I'm taking. And you can, and as a watcher, like, oh, the mm-hmm. shoulders drop, there's a smile, the face, you know, is like, starts to open up more. Mm-hmm. And it's learning that key to not get defensive. That's been probably one of the top skills I wish I had learned earlier mm-hmm. in
life. Huge. And I would say also, if you feel like you're not ready to step into this role of just taking accountability, just also reiterating what you're hearing too can be really helpful too. Like if I'm like, hey, here's something I'm really stressed about within our relationship, and you know, if you're feeling some defensiveness, but you would just tell me, here's what I'm hearing you say. That already is a big, and that's not that hard to do. Yeah, just listen, be like, I'm just going to parrot what you're saying right, right now.
Listen carefully when I say this. Don't try to fix it right away.
Wait, but that's what we've been taught to do. We're going to fix everything.
It's not going to work. Listen, mm-hmm. reflect back to them. Make sure that they feel extremely well, deeply heard. And then you may be able to share something that's you know, how you're going to make it better or why you did something. But don't jump to that right away, because that's not what they want to hear. They want to know that their feelings are valid, that you care about their feelings, and that you're there for them. They don't have to worry about sharing them with you. You're not going to go off freaking out or yelling or like getting defensive or running out, you know, like mm-hmm. getting into a fight. Like all those things are going to ruin your date night.
Mm-hmm.
But a little bit of empathy and reflecting back to them will work wonders. Give it a try.
It's so interesting how we'd be like, okay, we're not trying to give people some man hacking skills to go like, this is going to get you more laid if you do this, but it will probably get you more late.
It will definitely get you more laid.
And I would say also for folks of all genders, that if we show up in this way, it's just going to benefit our relationships, no matter who we're talking to, but especially our partners.
Yeah, getting laid is a side benefit. Really, ultimately, it's like having a good relationship with someone. This applies to from the bedroom to the boardroom, mm-hmm. right? If you want to be a leader, you've got to be able to listen to the people that are in your life and have to take care of them and have them trust you mm-hmm. and feel safe around you.
What do you think about, so I think of sometimes there's the masculine that shows up more as the supporter of the feminine. I know I'm using these like kind of gender norms here, but I think of this in there's like the supporter, but still in a leader way, like a confident way. I'm not saying this perfectly, but then there's the masculine that's kind of the destroyer because it's threatened by the power of the feminine. And when I'm saying these things, I'm speaking to an energy. It doesn't have to be pussy owners or penis owners. But what do you think about someone who's kind of showing up really heavy in that, in the masculine? And that's like, I'm a leader and I'm going to control and take over. And how can that person learn to soften? You know, I guess, is it the same work to learn how to soften as it is to boost your confidence?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Learning how, the same keys, I think, learning how to relax your body, open your heart, quiet your mind, and elevate your spirit.
Hmm.
That's going to work wonders no matter where you are in that spectrum.
What are some applicable tools? So I know that you have a whole workshop, or more, it's not a program, actually, it's not just a workshop, on this that's coming up in February. I think you're launching February 22nd, 2022, and we'll talk more about how people can find that in a little bit. But what are some other applicable tools that people can do now without even going to the workshop? You talked about here's some communication skills that you can utilize with partners. But when you're saying these things about learn how to get in your body and all these things, and I know that you're going to elaborate on this in the workshop or the program, what are some just kind of simple things that people might do? Like if they're already like, when you say get into my body, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how I elevate my spirit. Like what are just some basic things that come to mind that people might be able to do on their own?
Mm-hmm. So I had someone tell me years ago that I wasn't in my body. Hmm. And I was like, I laughed. I'm like, that's dumb. Like I'm right here. Here's my body. I'm right here. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Later on, I realized that I was actually floating a few feet out of my body because I didn't feel safe mm-hmm. in my body. And once I became more embodied, I understood what this person was telling me. So for me, my path has been through martial arts. I practice Aikido. I've been doing that since 1995. Got a second degree black belt in Aikido.
And
that's been really powerful for me to get in my body and in my heart and in my spirit. The other practices that I've used, I have a Qigong practice called Shengzhen, which is really not really just Qigong. It's Qigong together with an open heart, with love. Qi together with love. So that's been a really powerful practice for me. But just what's some simple things that you can do? Here's one simple exercise you could do. You could take a breath in, feel your lungs expanding, and then exhale. And then on the next breath, not just inhaling into your lungs, but use your imagination here, but imagine yourself are inhaling into every cell of your body. Feel this inner expansion inside, like your cells are breathing in. And then as you exhale, let your body relax and feel the cells of your body kind of soften. Mm. So try that for a while. Begin to feel what it's like to breathe with your whole body. Some simple tool. Then you could also, so there's the body and then there's the heart too. This was the biggest key for me. I was in a workshop and the teacher told me to open my heart to the whole universe. And I was like, I can't do that. And I almost didn't take this workshop because it was called the Qigong of Unconditional Love. And I saw that and I was like, well, I'm a dude. Like, what the hell I want to do with unconditional love for? That's boring and lame. It's old ladies petting cats watching soap operas. Like, that's not
me and my dog.
That's not for a dude. But I went to this workshop and so he said, open your heart to the whole universe. And I was like, okay, I did. And I did. Like, it took this, like, and half a second later, I felt this big connection, that opening. I don't know what it was, but I was like, this is good. I don't know what this is, but this is good. And then I began to realize through this practice that really the most masculine thing you can do is work to keep your heart open so that you have the full flow of energy of love through you. And that's there's such joy and power and charisma and connection that comes from that open heart. That just opening your heart will skyrocket your relationship. So you could do the same thing with the breath. As you breathe in, you can imagine your not just your physical heart, but imagine like an energetic heart opening and connecting to nature, to the trees, plants, animals, the whole world. And then as you exhale, feel that coming back inside of you. You know, a heart is always kind of relaxing and contracting, pumping. Mm-hmm. The heart's opening and closing naturally. So just on an inhale, imagine your heart expanding. Like this big heart. And then as you exhale, let that relax and soften. And try that for a little bit to be able to connect to your heart. A lot of men in my program, they're not connected to their body. They're not connected to their heart. I talk about accessing the wisdom of your heart. And they're like, what? I don't know. Where's my heart? Like, how do I even do that? So through practice. First, you start to awaken those abilities in you. And then you can do some more training to fully embody that.
And the more we practice things, the more it becomes a natural state for us. And I think a lot of people, or especially, I guess men, I think, are more cultured to live in their genitals or in their brains and not in this holistic being. And also, I can speak for myself. I'm like a heady person, and I have to work to be in my heart and my pussy all at once. I'm like, fuck, this is exhausting. And the more I practice it, the easier it gets. And I can tell you that the sex that I have when I'm in my full expression of my body is 10 times better than when I'm just in one part of it. If I'm just in my head, that changes sex, and not in a positive way. And if I'm just in my pussy, which that actually never happens for me because my whole thing works together. I work from top down, basically. And that's just me. So that's just an important part of it. I used to, in my early sexual years of being a sexual being and having sex, I spent 10 years not being in my full body. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that it's night and day. And I used to have sex with partners who weren't and aren't. Our sex was good. It was never like phenomenal, mind blowing. And now in my 30s, when I've really started to cultivate this in myself, I'm choosing partners that can meet me in that, because that's also really important to me. But I also feel like I'm magnetizing that, and they're doing the same thing, and it just makes such a huge difference. So what I'm hearing you say is more embodied practices and practicing them more. And if this is new to you and you're like, oh, Qigong, embodied breath, blah blah blah, Om Shanti, gems and crystals, I'm tuning out. I hear you, and there is just there's truth to it. There just really is truth, and there's not just one way for everyone. Like if qigong, God, I can't say it, is not your jam, then you find some other practice that is incorporating the entire body and bringing it all together, and it's limitless, right? There's endless
yoga, dance, martial arts. Yeah, I highly recommend Aikido if you're gonna do a martial art.
Hiking, chopping wood, you know, if you want some manly shit, you know, or climbing a mountain, you know, there, but you're in the flow state and you're using your whole body and you're breathing and you're feeling the nature and the air around you.
Yes, it's the body, but the heart has to be there together, and the mind has to be there, and the spirit all together working as one. And that's where the real magic is, when you can have that unification of your heart and your body and your mind and spirit all together, that's the real sweet spot. Then you feel like you're in the center.
What about people who are like, if I bring my heart in, I'll get real sad because there's a lot of scary things in there.
Right. Well, that's we may be going on this topic, but that's a closed heart. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our hearts are hurt. Mm-hmm. There's pain in our heart, and that's okay. But how can you heal that heart? When the heart can begin to open, people think they want to close their heart to protect themselves, or you know, from their emotions or from other people. But really, the most power is when the heart begins to open. Then the power of love begins to flow through in a really free flowing way. That protects you. Mm-hmm. People want to hold boundaries by closing their heart, but that takes away their personal power. When the heart's open, you're like, oh, now you can really say, no, this is my boundary. And you know, you speak from your heart. Mm-hmm. And it also begins to heal the heart as that flow of energy begins to work through. Mm-hmm. And there's practices that I share in this self-leadership program and in my other work that specifically works on the heart. And like I said, you know, when I first heard, oh, open your heart or unconditional love, I was like, not for dudes, mm-hmm. right? Not for me. I was completely wrong. Mm-hmm. That's where our true masculinity lies. That's the source of the best sex we're ever going to have in our life. The best connection. If you want to you want to start dating or find your partner, get your heart open more. Mm. Your partners will feel that. Your partner will see the you. And they'll be like, what? What's in that heart? The heart's open. Mm-hmm. I trust this man. Mm-hmm. This man's done the inner work. That's really sexy. Doing the inner work is one of the sexiest things. That's probably the sexiest thing you can do for your partner. And if you combine that with men's work, I mean that's really the sweet spot.
April has this joke about me where what's really hot to me is if I talk to someone and they're like, oh, my therapist, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, that's hot versus like, yeah, I went and surfed a gnarly wave. I'm like, that's cool. But like, your therapist, tell me more. Or like childhood wounding, but they're aware of it. Or men's work. You know, I'm part of this men's circle or doing this men's work program. And I feel that. I'm like, my pussy's online.
I hear you talking about it. My partner was talking about it. I had no idea that this was at all like a sexy thing to do. I thought it may be kind of cool to hang out with some dudes and do some guy stuff, but I didn't know, one, that the level of transformation that I would receive, but more importantly, I had no idea how hot it was. Last month, I posted a question on my Facebook page, and I said, hey, you know, my women friends, I got a question for you. How important is it to you that men in your life do men's work? I got like 30 or 40 women replying like, so hot, super hot. It's essential. Like, I won't date someone that hasn't done men's work. Like, it's the sexiest thing ever. Men who work on themselves, I find so attractive. A man tells me, I'm like, over and over again, repeated the same message that this is essential. And I asked my men's group, how do your partners feel about you doing men's work? And they're like, they didn't really know.
Interesting.
I talked to one of the men who completed my leadership program that ended in December. I was over his house and I asked him, like, how was the program for you? What did you learn and what did you go through? And he's like, yeah, it was pretty good, and we did this and that and so on. But he wasn't like over the top and enthusiastic. Then his partner came home as I was leaving, and I asked her, I was like, so Annette, how was it for you that that your husband was in this program? And she's like, oh my God, it was so good for our relationship. It supported him so much. I felt so much more turned on. Our sex improved. Like, all this, he just went on and on about.
He had no idea. He was like, it's cool.
He had no idea.
That's funny.
He had no idea how. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, they're like, okay, well, maybe you two should have a conversation about this, because this is powerful stuff to have some awareness about that. And so this is someone who completed a similar thing that you're going to be offering, but it was like a different different round of this offering.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I had one that launched in October of last year.
Got it.
I'm going to run the same program. I've run it several times this year. It's called Awaken the Leader Within.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about that. So Awaken the Leader Within, and this is February 22nd, 2022. It's going to be launched, and it is it an eight-week?
Eight-week program,
and it's online, and there's an in-person retreat.
It's mostly online, so there's 8 weeks. It's spread up into four different pillars of self-leadership, the body, the self-care. You can't, if you want to really take care of other people as a leader, you need to take care of yourself first. So, and then the second is self-love. Mm-hmm. So if you want to love other people, you really need to love yourself first. And if you want to be able to receive love, you need to love yourself. The 2 weeks on self-reflection, on the mind, going into stillness, not just quieting the mind, but also empowering the mind so you have a clear and focused and sharp mind. And then self-inspiration is the fourth pillar that we teach. How do you elevate your spirit and inspire yourself so that you can then inspire other people? Mm. I had the thought come to me that true leadership starts with self-leadership. Mm. And I was like, oh, right. Like that inner game of leadership. And that's really where the magic is. Mm. Because it's, you know, at the end of the day, you've only got you. Like you've got you and inside of you. And so if you can work on yourself, your self-leadership, you have a body that's strong and energetic, you have a heart that's loving and full, you have a mind that's clear, reflects the truth of the universe, and you have a spirit that's like connected to the big picture. Wow, like that's when you find the meaning in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I love clear pillars too. I'm like, ooh, point one, two, three, and four, and they're all working with the entire being, which I think is really helpful. So for people, so this is from, since it's 8 weeks online, there's an in-person retreat.
One in-person retreat, and okay. There's also the badass sword upgrade. So mm-hmm. for the men that want to, I include sword practice, and yes, you get a real
like live, a real sword,
a real sword.
Cool.
And I do that because working with the sword can really bring that really like some deep clarity and alignment into your life and into your leadership skills. In Aikido philosophy, there's the sword, the life-taking sword, and the life-giving sword. Mm. There's a sword that cuts, and there's a sword that brings together. Mm. And that's what I'm teaching. How do you bring everything together? The sword really becomes an extension of your spirit. And so learning how to have like a good, dignified posture and have a sword cut that brings the whole universe together in one cut. Like there's something real magic there. So
it's kind of sexy too. Just like watching a man hold a sword.
Super, you know, and then most times, you know, you're kind of cutting and it's not so sharp when you're, you know, straight when you're starting out, but little by little, you have more and more alignment inside you. Mm. Really, really powerful practice.
I'm thinking of like Kill Bill, learning the art of the sword, but like they're using for murder, but also in this art is a little different.
There's also four men's circles. So on each of those pillars, there'll be a men's circle for 2 hours. That's
online.
That's focused on that. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So if you have people that live in New York, they could do this, but they can fly out for the in-person retreat.
All online. Yeah, and if you can fly out for the in-person, that's great too.
And how do they find out about this and sign up? What are I think you have two website offerings here, your socials, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. If you're interested in the rope stuff, you can go to not-love.com.
With a K.
K-N-O-T love. I'll have a Valentine's Day special, and I'll have a four-week couples erotic rope course that'll be launching in February. And I have a full-length instructional video course on the heart of erotic rope play. But this leadership program, you can go to Wiley Leadership, with two L's in Wiley. It's called called Awaken the Leader Within. And it's a really powerful program. It will provide a foundation for your personal growth. It'll forever change how you move in your body, your heart, your mind, and your spirit. And provide a foundation for moving forward from a really grounded, centered, whole place.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I want to leave you with one special way, mm-hmm. one special tip to be able to end any argument with your partner. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those ways to help your partner feel safe. And it's a simple process, and I call it the PRISM process, P-R-I-S-M. It has four simple steps. So I was in an argument with my partner. We were supposed to have a date night, and this is going back to when she wasn't feeling safe. And we started getting into this fight, and then, you know, she's telling me she's right. I'm trying to tell her I'm right, and it's not going anywhere. And then I felt something. It's all this leadership work I've been doing. I felt my inner leader wake up and was like, do you want to be a leader in this relationship? Or do you want to be like the victim? And I was like, I want to be the leader. Well, then follow your process. Okay, I'll follow my process. This four-step process is relax, open, quiet, and act. And so the first step is to take a moment to relax your body and think about what you want. The second step is to open your heart, think about how you want to feel. The third step is to let your mind go quiet for a moment and wait for an answer to bubble up as to what can you do right now to begin feeling that way right now. And then the fourth step is to act and do that thing. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of this argument, that inner leader kind of tapped me on the shoulder and was like, okay, well, why don't you put your process to work here? And I was like, okay, well, what do I want? Well, I want to have sex with my partner. Mm-hmm. How do you want to feel? Well, I want to feel like sexy and flirty and fun and safe. And then I was like, oh, what can I do to do that? So I sat, I was quiet for just a second, and it came up right away. Tell your partner how pretty she looks right now. Okay. And so the fourth step is to act. So I did that. I said, hey, babe, you know, like, you're really cute.
Mm-hmm. And they're just like that. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, thanks. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I really like this and that. I started, you know, kind of going the way I wanted it to go. And then we ended up having an amazing time. Happened again on New Year's. New Year started to be a disaster. We had the dinner late, and she was tired and hungry and stressed. And it was just, I was like, but this is not how I want to go into 2022 like this. So I thought for a second, I relaxed my body. What do I want? I want to have an amazing New Year and walk into tomorrow morning powerful. Okay. How I want it to feel. Well, I want tonight to feel like connected and playful and fun. And this is like about 10 o'clock. And she was almost ready for bed. And then I said, what can I do right now to begin to feel that way? Okay, I can tell my partner that I've got this. And so I did. I was like, hey, babe, like, I know we're fighting now, and I know New Year's is getting to be difficult, but I'm going to wake up tomorrow really powerful. And I know we can do it. It's only 10 o'clock. Midnight isn't for another couple hours. Like we've got this. Like, I know that, you know, it's a little tricky now, but we'll get the food done soon, and we'll do this and we'll do that, and no problem. I just watched her whole nervous system relax and open up. And then it was like, we went to bed at like 2:30 after having just a fantastic time. So I want to just plant that seed, because you can always, like, it's your life to lead and create and live the life that you love. So always, if you can, remember that you can take these four steps. Relax your body, connect to what you want, open your heart, connect to how you want to feel, go quiet, wait for an answer to how you can feel that way right now, and then take that next step.
Awesome. You know, I love those formulas. So remind people how they find your website again. The two websites. We have Not Love.
KNOT-love.
Okay.
And Wiley Leadership, Willey.
All.coms. You don't have any like .love or live or whatever live or things at the end that the websites don't love.
.com.
Okay, everyone. Go check that out. And also we'll have the links in our show notes too. So if you don't remember, you can just click through the link. It's also on our website and all the fun things. You can find out about Edward. Edward, again, also is on episode 139, Not Love with a K, Rote Play for Hot Sex and Deep Connection. And I think that's all my plugs there right now. Thank you for all the tools, Edward, and the personal stories and the help. And you're helping as someone who's a vulva owner who has sex with penis owners. Thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you.
Because you're really helping us out.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. I'm not sure about your market to the men or to the partners of them.
We have it for all of them. I think the partners are like, yes, please. And then to the penis owning folks who are, a lot of the people listening to the podcast are already on that path a little bit. And a lot of them are brand new, though. They're like, I haven't, like the ones who are like, men's work, I don't know about this. So I think just helpful to give people more ideas of ways that they can navigate. navigate.
If you have any questions too, I'll share my my calendar link, and you can book a call with me to talk about this men's program and see if it's right for you.
Cool. That'll all be in there in the show notes and the links, and then we can all learn more. And everyone, just so you know, working on yourself is sexy. Don't forget.
Thanks, Amy.
And I'm not the only one that thinks that. Thanks, so Edward. Sexy. Okay, and to our listeners, let's see. April's not here. What would you normally say? She'd say, oh, yeah, go rate us on iTunes. It helps people find us. We love 5 stars. We love you. Please go right now. Press pause. Rate us. Thank you. But she'd also say, ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.